That really takes us right to 2 o'clock, so at this time we'll turn it over to staff attorney. John's going to handle the clock, and I believe a number of individuals signed up to testify on the finalization that was before us today, John.
Correct.
If anybody has come late to the party, we'd ask that you sign in at the back and give the card on what you'd like to talk about and your name to John, so that we can call these in an orderly fashion. And as a reminder, we allow for a 3-minute response during this time. I think we have 10 or 11 people signed up today, so it's going to take us at least 33 minutes, if my even math is correct, to get through these. So with that, John, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, John Cotillon, staff attorney for Davidson Parks. Now is the time for the public to weigh in on finalizations, also known as a public hearing. So we'll go through the finalizations. I will ask if there's any member of the public that wishes to speak on a particular issue for finalization. Again, remind you to please state your name for the record, as well as the city and town or city or town where you are from. We will start with the first finalization of fish limit. That's finalization number 8. I don't have anyone written down for that. Is there anyone online that did not send in a request to testify on this subject? Hearing none, move on to the next finalization item, which is item number 9, hoop nets and set lines. I have Ms. Nancy Hilding from the Prairie Hills Audubon Society wishing to speak on this issue.
Please do, Nancy.
Again, I'd just like to remind testifiers to keep the testimony within 3 minutes. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I was talking to someone at the back. Do I have 3 minutes for rule, 3 minutes for all rules?
3 minutes for whatever you signed up for, Nancy. But I mean, we can't, to make it easier for you,
I have four rules I want to comment. So do I have 3 minutes or 45 seconds for rule, or do I have 3 minutes for each rule?
Yes, 3 minutes for the ones that you signed up to speak.
So I have 45 seconds.
No. 3 minutes for each of you. We signed up for those. I mean, if we get in, I mean, it's up to me in going in the future. I mean, if somebody signs up for 11 things that they want to talk about, I think I'm going to get a little more clear.
All right,
take what really works them to make the most of everybody's time. But if you've got 4 things today, Nancy, fire away.
All right, good. That way I can actually get through this stuff. Okay. I am going to begin.
Just identify yourself.
I'm Nancy Hilding. I'm president of Prairie Hills Audubon Society. I have given you a packet. Okay, to begin with, because this has to be done during finalization, I argue with these guys a lot about what you consider transparency. You are allowed, because the public, such as I, request an amendment or a change to a rule. You are allowed to do that if the public makes that comment during the hearing. And I assume that includes the written public comments as part of the hearing. So you are, for example, as far as I can tell, not allowed to make a substantive comment because the Davidson Park staff comes after the hearing and testifies to a substantive change. It needs to come from the public during the hearing, and you can make a change. So when I asked for this, or Travis Beast or somebody else asked for an amendment to a rule, the Davidson Park staff will come forward and talk to you about transparency and how you want a public notice everything. And so this comment that has been made by the public that a commissioner might agree with cannot be done because it's not transparent, because you haven't had 60 days and 30 days public notice. So within here, I have one laws related to transparency, which explains the hypocrisy inherent in this.
Nancy, I'm going to interrupt you. Are you going to testify on one of the finalizations we have?
Yeah, no, this is,
because I really don't have time.
No, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to set up why I am saying what I'm going to say, which is you can change the rule based on the testimony of anybody, including the written statements, not just me, people who don't agree with me. You can do that. You're allowed to do that. It's not illegal. And the Davidson Park staff writes changes to some. Every single department recommended changes to the proposed proposal from the agency. So at any rate, so now I'm going to get into, and I have a discussion sheet about that in there on the packet. Okay, so now I'm going to go through very quickly the things that I would like to suggest amendments to, so we get this legally proposed during the hearing, which allows you to consider it. All right, okay. The Isaac Waltley bless them, gave you a letter about wanting a 21-day, it's a letter in your public comments, a 21-day hold when moving boats between surface waters to protect against aquatic invasive species. They suggest an amendment to your rule. I would like you to consider their amendment to your rule. You're allowed to do this despite what the staff is going to tell you about transparency. All right, okay. Then I would like you, this is for the mountain lion season, and I have this written down here in case you don't get to it in my letter that I sent to you about this. I would like you to reduce the female harvest limit down from 40. We suggest 25, but anything below 40 would be good. And if you remember, you had testimony against this at the last commission meeting where one of the Andys, I think it was Andy Norton, told you that if you actually reach the harvest limit...
Ms. Hilden, can I just ask a clarifying question? So we'll get to the mountain lion stuff and we'll get to the aquatic invasive species stuff. Do you have any comments specifically on the finalization of hoop nets and set lines?
Yes, I will get to that.
That's the subject we're on right now. So I would say your other comments for the mountain lion when we get to those, and I call close. You can speak to those.
I'm confused here. I guess because I was talking to somebody I didn't know.
Yeah, so you can focus your testimony on hoop nets.
Okay, well, I will go to the hoop nets and set lines. Okay, so... what we are concerned about here is the incidental take of otters and traps and fish nets and traps. There were 216, when they were doing the delisting, they had 216 incidental takes, of which they had 146. Two-thirds of them they knew what caused the incidental take, and there were five otters taken in traps or nets. And of the ones that they knew about, that was 3.4%. And of the ones where they missed, the ones they didn't know the incidental take caused, it's 2.3%. Now, if you look at your current existing rule, you don't allow hoop nets and traps over the majority of the area where the otters are. You allow along the Missouri River and some of the mouths of the river coming in. Okay, you're expanding it.
You have 1 minute remaining for this.
All right. You're expanding it off into western South Dakota, where some of us want you to reintroduce otters. So we ask you for an amendment, or you to consider amendments, to look at how fish nets and hoop nets are constructed, to find something to minimize the incidental take of otters. And we had information on otters that they were a feeding species. I don't know about muskrat snakes and all the other mammals that potentially get caught in hoop nets and traps. But I would like you to look at having rules about the design and maintenance of these traps to minimize incidental take of water mammals. And I would like you to consider what you are proposing as a 72-hour trap set time. You know, and I do not know how they are caught in traps and whether if you had a faster trap set time, they wouldn't drown, whether it's hopeless and if they get caught in the trap, they drown. But So I'm asking you to consider amendments to this rule, either now or some point in the future, because I know sometimes it's slow to get things, that you start thinking about hoop nets and fish traps affecting aquatic mammals by accident, and what mitigation you can do for that. That's a request for an amendment.
Thank you.
All right?
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that would wish to speak on the finalization of hoop nets and set lines? Anyone online or in the room who hasn't signed up? Hearing none, go on to the finalization of item number 10, bait regulations. I don't have anyone signed up at this point, but is there anyone online or in the room that hasn't signed up that wishes to make public comments on the finalization of bait regulations? Hearing none, moving on to finalization item number 11, spear fishing. Again, I have no one signed up, but is there anyone online or in the room that wishes to give public testimony on item number 11, spearfishing? Hearing none, moving on to item number 12, blowgun. I have no one listed for comment on the finalization of blowguns, but is there anyone online or in the room that wishes to testify on the finalization of blowguns? Hearing none, moving on to item number 13, the finalization of private hatchery regulations. Again, I have no one signed up for comment, but is there anyone online or in the room that wishes to comment on private hatchery regulations? Moving on, item number 14, finalization of tournament rules. Again, I have no one signed up for this for public comment, but is there anyone online or in the room that wishes to speak on the finalization of tournaments? Moving on to item number 15, aquatic invasive species. Ms. Hilden, did you wish to address that? You're the only person I had. You did already. Do you have anything additional you'd like to add?
Aquatic invasive species,
Nancy, just for the record.
Nancy Hilden, Curry Hill Aquatic Conservation. What I did was I asked you to read and look at the letter submitted by the Isaac Walton League, who asked for an amendment to say to hold a 21 days per immersion of a potentially infected goat between surface waters. I would like you to consider making that an amendment, and I explain to you how you can use amendments that were suggested by the public. It's legal, you're allowed to do it. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hilden. Is there anyone else in the public, either here or online, that would wish to give public testimony on the finalization of the aquatic invasive species regulation? Hearing none, moving on to item number 16, the finalization of spring turkey regulations. I have no one signed up currently, but is there anyone online or in the room that wishes to give testimony in regards to the finalization of spring turkey? Hearing none, moving on to the finalization of item number 17, mountain lion hunting season. First individual I have signed up is Chris Hesla from Pierce, South Dakota. Mr. Hesla, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Secretary Roebling, Chairman Olson, and the commission, and welcome Julie and Stephanie to the commission. My name is Chris Hesla. I'm with the South Dakota Wildlife Federation, and I'm opposing today the ability to chase mountain lions off of private land onto public land, specifically the GPA and the Forest Service lands that has been petitioned, and you chose to bring that up. It's not because we oppose the houndsmen using hounds on public lands. It's because of how the mountain lion is designated in South Dakota. It's a big game animal right now. We just believe that the management should be changed, or the thought of management should be changed by the department from just the Black Hills District to possibly out on the plains a little bit. We're not asking not to shoot them, not anything like that. Just a little bit of management for a big game species we have. As you know, and these numbers are approximate, 90% of South Dakota is private land, leaving basically 10% public lands. And that public lands includes the Black Hills, reservation lands, federal lands, and probably the smallest part of that is game fish and parks game production areas. We just feel that the lions are pursued outside the Black Hills District for 365 a day is a year. You can shoot them on site, basically, if you have a license. We just think, you know, if they're being chased off private land onto GPA somewhere, that they should get a break. Unless you want to change the designation of the mountain lion to, like, varmint or a critter like the coyote and that, and just open the door on it completely. The legislature didn't choose to do that at the beginning. That's why they named it a big game animal. I've asked several game fish and parks employees if there's a big problem with producers and landowners throughout South Dakota, and I haven't really heard any major complaints, you know, sightings, things like that. So if we're seeking this change because we want to manage the mountain lions, I think we're already doing a good job managing the lions. And we just think if the mountain lion gets a chance to get to public land like a GPA, it should be allowed to live another day. We do believe that mountain lions are a majestic animal and they need a break in our GPAs. We just ask you to consider this and, you know, allow the mountain lion to live another day if it gets off of private land onto public land. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hesla. The next person I have listed is Ms. Haley Stewart from Beaverton, Oregon. Are you online, Ms. Stewart?
Yeah, hi, I'm online.
Okay, go ahead. Your 3 minutes begins now.
Good afternoon, Chairman Olson and members of the Commission. My name is Haley Stewart, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Humane Society of the United States. And we had Darcy Adams submit written comments to you as well, and she is a South Dakota resident. The Humane Society of the United States is opposed to the proposed mountain lion hunting seasons because they allow excessive levels of hunting on mountain lions, harming their population in South Dakota. We're opposed to the use of recreational hunting to manage mountain lions because the objective of such killing is merely for trophies and not for subsistence. Researchers have found that excessive hunting of mountain lions leads to increased conflicts with humans, pets, and livestock. Hunting of mountain lions also harms ungulates because these top carnivores target sick animals, including those with chronic wasting disease. If the agency is to continue allowing the hunting of mountain lions, we request that the agency limit the practice to sustainable levels. Specifically, we request the agency remove the population cap of 200 to 300 mountain lions and limit the annual hunting quota to no more than 14% of the adult and subadult population. So this amounts to no more than 38 mountain lions based on the agency's most recent estimate of 277 adult and subadult lions. Other wildlife agencies have implemented similar limits on mountain lion quotas, including neighboring Colorado, as research shows that hunting above 14% of the mountain lion population results in declines to their populations. We also asked the agency implement a 20% sublimit on female hunting mortality as a proportion of total hunting mortality. The current subquota of 40 female mountain lions out of a total quota of 60 is far too high. Multiple studies across the Western U.S. demonstrate that limiting female mortality to approximately 20% of total hunting mortality is necessary to ensure a stable population. Other states have implemented similar sublimits to protect breeding females and help prevent overhunting of these rare animals. And lastly, we ask the agency to prohibit the hunting of mountain lions with hounds throughout South Dakota, including outside of the Public Hills Fire Protection District. Using hounds to chase mountain lions and bait them into trees or rock ledges so a hunter can shoot them at close range is unsporting and not fair chase hunting. Hounds kill kittens and mountain lions often injure or kill hounds. Hounds also chase and stress non-target wildlife like porcupines and deer and trespass onto private lands. We believe that South Dakota's mountain lions are an important component of our natural wildcat heritage and deserve a reasoned management so that their populations are conserved for future generations. We urge the agency to consider our recommendations and incorporate them into South Dakota's mountain lion management efforts. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Stewart. The next individual I have listed to speak up on the finalization of mountain lion hunting is Ms. Nancy Hilding.
Nancy Hilding, Kurt and Sotomayor. I seek clarification. On the sign of feet, you have mountain lion season and mountain lion season restrictions. There's two different items. Am I commenting on both of them or just mountain lion hunting season?
So, Ms. Hilding, I would recommend that you comment on both of them at the same time. This is one finalization item.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So, I tried to send you on the evening a comment letter on this, which is here, which I could not load to the system. So I sent a copy of it to Rachel, but it's not in your public comments, so I gave it to you. I also submitted a letter, which was timely received, which I have received, which is not on your public comments. I therefore question, you know, I don't know where the fault lies, whether it's my internet system or your guys' system, but you were not accepting attachments on Saturday night. And you were losing emails that I actually sent that I got a receipt for.
I got a receipt showing that your system received it in a timely manner, but it was not on the public comment list. So there was something totally going on a Saturday night with your public comment system. So I question if we're being given, as required by statute, a reasonable opportunity to comment if your online system is not working properly. And so, like I say, I don't know whether it's my computer or your stuff, but something looks strange. So I included both the letters that I tried to send in this stuff here. Okay. So once again, I am going to tell you that you can consider comments by the public. So when Haley asks you to make these amendments, you can do that. Okay. I am going to, before he cuts me out, I'm going to give you amendments to consider. I also specifically asked that the female quota be taken down. I gave you some charts from the Andy Lindblom or Andy Norton. If you were here listening, they told you if you actually met the hunting quota for females, you would drop to the bottom of your 200-300 lions interval by 2 years from now. They told you that. So why do you have this? And then you see the approximate, your graphs, your lines are not exact. You have your confidence intervals, and it could be wrong. So why are you pushing the envelope and having a female quota that could drop you outside of your goals? So I am requesting, we are requesting that you drop it down from 40. We suggest 25, but we don't care. You know, 37, 35.
1 minute remaining.
You know, just drop down that, okay? So we also request a drop down, as Haley asked, in the both sets harvest limits. We suggest, and this is in my letter, that you on Custer State Park, you start with the food hunters before the hound hunters, because you have a de facto Custer State Park hunting thing just for hound hunters, because the last 6 to 7 years, no food hunters can get any lions because the hound hunters keep them too. So we also object to the lion hunting by hounds on the prairie unit, and we ask, and we have a long letter in here that you're not going to let me get to, where I explain what you're proposing is illegal. That's this letter. Because you're required to put the petition that the hound hunters asked you for up there. The hound hunters asked for going on to the grasslands and onto Game 50 Parks' property. Somebody somewhere changed it to make it going from private land to all public land unless the public land manager specifically asked it.
Can you ask you that wrap up your testimony, please?
That was not what the hound hunters asked for. You are therefore violating state law, which requires you to move their petition forward within 30 days or kill it. You passed a resolution to move it forward. You did not move it forward. The staff inserted something else. But we oppose what the hound hunters are asking for. We do not want any hound hunting anywhere, but we particularly don't want it 365 days a year in a per unit, and we don't want it moving off of private land to the public land. And, you know, I know the world runs on compromise. So, you know, if you have to have some moving off of private land to public land, you make it a lot less, you know, but we would like not, like what Chris has to say. So I suggest you read my stuff. You're violating the law, and it's a rule for the committee has to look at this. We did not consider the petition, even though the board passed a resolution to move the petition forward to be considered.
Thank you, Mr. Lynn.
Okay, thank you.
The other individual I have listed for the finalization of mountain lion hunting is Brad Tugdo of Rapid City, South Dakota. Brad, are you here or online?
Right here.
3 minutes are yours, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. Brad Tugdo, South Dakota Houndsman Association. Good morning, Secretary Robling, field staff, and commissioner. As you all know, I am the president of the organization that did bring this petition forward. We feel it is a small minor change that is good for South Dakota, it's good for sportsmen, it's good for houndsmen. We are not asking for anything special that is not normally allowed to every other sportsman in South Dakota. We are You know, we want to hunt the public land the way we hunt it, just like a rifle hunter wants to hunt the public land the way he does, a bow hunter, everything like that. This petition would help control mountain lions in an area that the Game Fish and Parks has stated for the past 10 years they are not interested in managing for mountain lions. This allows us to work with landowners. Landowners who have a mountain lion and would like it removed from their land. That mountain lion doesn't always stay on their land. It'll go where it wants to go. We have this opportunity to help them. The other thing it does is it helps us with what landowners, we and the department, consider presumed lions. I presume I have a lion. I think I've got a lion here. Can you come out? I'm pretty sure I have a lion. And you can talk to field staff, and to be honest, the presumed lion is probably more of a problem than actually having a mountain lion there, because it's just, it's believed it's there. It's a ghost in the darkness. The other thing is, it is what we're asking for, to use the hounds in them areas. It's a very much, it's less demanding than hunting them in the Black Hills. This allows us a chance to add some youth, young adults, some elderly, some disabled hunters, maybe something where we could get some Wounded Warrior stuff involved, which is what we are really, really looking to try and get into. But with some of that in the Black Hills, it's very hard. I hunt bears in Wisconsin. We work with an organization called Last Hunt, and we carried a wheelchair 4.5 miles through the woods across three creeks to get a hunter there. And after that, the hunters involved with that says, we can't take the wheelchairs no more. It doesn't work. We did it. We loved it. It was a very special moment, but we can no longer do it. It couldn't be done anymore. And now if we could do something like this outside the Black Hills in the prairie land, that is a very real opportunity. That's a very real opportunity in those areas. Most of them areas, you can get a four-wheeler, a side-by-side, whatever it takes. You know.
30 seconds remaining.
Okay. This also allows some education for people that are non-hound hunters. It would give them a chance to understand what it really takes and how much time it takes to really work one of these dogs and make them do what they want to do. And with that, I know that I'm out of time. I have one closing thing I'd like to state here. I'd like to thank all the commission, present, past. I'd also like to thank department and field staff for all the help over the past 10 years. Two as a vice president, eight as president. We've come a long way, and my term as South Dakota Huntsman president comes to an end September 24th. So I hope to continue working to help some of South Dakota sportsmen to improve their opportunity. I will still hold one of four board positions on the Black Hills Mountain Lion Hunters Association. But I want to thank everyone again for the past 10 years. You've been great to work with, and I hope that we've all learned something together. And if you have any questions, I'll be here till the end. And if you have any questions in the finalization area, I'd be glad to answer any questions anyone has.
Thank you, sir. That is all the people that I have listed as signed up for comment on the finalization. That being said, is there anyone in the room who or online who has not given public testimony that wishes to give public testimony as it relates to finalization?
I do.
Could you please identify yourself?
My name is Julie Anderson, and I'm a resident of Rapid City.
Which finalization would you speak to?
I would like to object to the mountain lion season and the proposed town hunting amendment to it.
Okay.
Trophy hunting is cruel. It's inhumane. Lions may get torn apart if they have no tree to climb, like in the proposed area of the grasslands. Kittens die or are orphaned when a female is killed, as kittens are reliant on their mother until and beyond 12 months of age. Trophy hunting harms entire mountain lion communities and disrupts the sex age structure, which tilts a population to one that is composed of younger males who are more likely to engage in livestock losses and increased conflicts with humans and pets than animals in stable older populations. Trophy hunting does nothing to control populations, as lions are a self-regulating species. Trophy hunting does not boost mule deer populations. Prey populations are much more influenced by underlying malnutrition problems associated with habitat. Mountain lions also target deer with chronic wasting disease in its early stages and can help maintain a healthy and viable population. Trophy hunting does not help bighorn sheep populations. It is unregulated market hunting, trophy hunting, disease from domestic sheep, resource competition with livestock, and loss of habitat that are the enemies of the bighorn sheep population. Mountain lions can help prevent deer car collisions and save millions of dollars in claims. When trophy hunting takes place, non-lethal methods of living with mountain lions when conflicts occur are non-existent, as the trophy hunting gives the illusion of population control. As for the proposed amendment, it is a blatant loophole allowing hound hunters to kill more mountain lions. Not expressly prohibited by the managing entity, leaves the sole responsibility to unsuspecting landowners and agencies to prohibit hunting on their own land where it has never been allowed before. For the record, I, as a public landowner, would like to expressly prohibit hound hunting on any public land. In other words, there is no science dictating this mountain lion season, and it's not for sustenance. It is purely for bloodlust, especially when hounds, muzzle-loading guns, and archery are allowed. As a person who loves wildlife, I am sickened by this and frustrated beyond measure that every amendment to this season is always to kill more lions. Game Fish and Parks originally was taking care of lions that were causing problems to people, pets, and livestock. I propose this agency returns to this common sense approach and abolishes this atrocity against nature. It is also my hope that the new commissioners identifying themselves as hunters is not an admission of what will guide their vote and can fairly represent the majority of people in this state who don't hunt. And I respectfully ask if I can ask a question regarding this amendment. Can I ask a question?
Typically, it's not a Q&A session for the public forum, but you can certainly state your question.
Okay. I just want to know how the agency or the person who owns the private land is supposed to object to these mountain lions being hunted on their land. Are they supposed to contact the Game Fish and Parks Department, or are these people who are doing this going to ask permission? It's very unclear on how this is done. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. And I'm sure during the finalization, Mr. Cantor or Mr. Kirschman may be able to address those questions. But that being said, is there anyone else who I missed for any of the finalization? Again, just this is relating to public testimony on the finalization. Hearing none, Mr. Chair, that will conclude the public hearings.